Well, hello and welcome. It is good to be with you today, and I trust that you're having a great day. It's cloudy here. It's supposed to rain later and maybe even have some strong weather, and we certainly pray for God's protection and watch care over us. But it is good to be with you. I always look forward to these times. I hope you do as well, and that they help you in your walk and your relationship with the Lord. I once more want to thank Jonathan and Nikki for all that they do to make these times possible. But obviously, more than anyone, I thank our Lord for loving us, for bringing us into a relationship with Himself, for giving us His Word, giving us this time, and sending His Spirit to teach us, to open our eyes for us to know Him. And so since we have come together before God and His Word, let's seek Him in prayer. Father, we thank You for this day that You have given to us. Father, Your love and Your grace, Father, it is amazing, O Lord. It goes beyond our ability to comprehend. Father, to think that a God such as Yourself would love sinners and weak little people like we are, Father, Lord, we praise You and thank You for it. Father, I ask that this day You speak to us, that You give us understanding. Lord, that we will in fact know You better, be able to trust You more, walk closer to You. Be with us, we pray, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, I hope that you're growing in your relationship with the Lord and that these times help you in that. And God certainly, and the wonderful truth is the fact that God wants us to grow in a relationship with Him. We open His Word to Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 15, where it says, "But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ." Peter wrote at the conclusion of his second epistle in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." God wants us to grow. But what is necessary for that growth to take place? And again, obviously, this is based upon the fact that we've come to know the Lord as our Savior. We've trusted in Him that we're born again. But as believers, what enables us to grow? Now, usually when we think about that question and we think about answers to that question, we usually think about various activities. Bible study, prayer, worship, fellowship, service, obedience. All of those are in fact true and are necessary. But in the midst of all those, how those things are done is almost as important as what things are done. In fact, it's the way in which we go about them that actually empowers those things. Well, then how should we go about those things? Well, this is exactly what we see in Psalm 131. It's a very short psalm, only 3 verses long. And yet it tells us what is necessary for us to grow in our relationship with the Lord. What will in fact empower and bring life out of those activities that we normally think about, the Bible study, the prayer, the fellowship, the worship. Think about what we read in Psalm 131, verses 1 through 3. "O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor my eyes haughty, nor do I involve myself in great matters or in things too difficult for me. Surely I have composed and quieted my soul like a weaned child rests against his mother. My soul is like a weaned child within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord, from this time forth and forever." As we look at these verses, we find that there are 3 attitudes, 3 characteristics that we need to have to grow in our relationship with the Lord. 3 attitudes that are necessary to make that list of things that we normally think about really effective and really help us grow. The first one we see in verse 1. Is the attitude of humility. Think again in verse 1. "O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor my eyes haughty, nor do I involve myself in great matters or in things too difficult for me." Now, I know we speak about humility. A lot of times we have a difficult time defining it, understanding it, getting a grasp on it. And probably the best way for us to understand what humility is, as we see it in God's Word, is from an episode from David's life. And of course, David is the one that the Holy Spirit inspired to write this psalm. But it looks back to a specific time in David's life. Remember how David, in fact, had desired to build the temple for the Lord. And in preparation of that, David began to do certain things. And the one thing in particular was bringing the ark to Jerusalem. And you recall, as David began that process, he used a cart, which was against the Old Testament requirements. And God struck Uzzah when the ark became unstable on the cart. David left the ark with Obed-Edom, and whom God blessed while it was there. But then later David began to realize, you know, that he had done it the wrong way. And so then David went back to bring the ark to Jerusalem, had the Levites carrying it as they should have been carried it. And God blessed that effort, and it was a wonderful time of joy and worship and celebration. And we see David in particular in that time. You think about what we see in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 14 through 16. And this is as the ark is being brought into Jerusalem. And David was dancing before the Lord with all of his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel bring up the ark of the Lord with shouting, with the sound of the trumpet. Then it happened as the ark of the Lord came to the city of David that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. The time of worship and celebration continued. David returned home in verses 20 and 21. But when David returned to bless his household, Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How the king of Israel distinguished himself today. He uncovered himself today in the eyes of his servants' maids as one of the foolish ones, shamelessly uncovers himself." So David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me above your father and above all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore I will celebrate before the Lord." And then listen to David's words now in verse 22. We get an idea of what we mean here by humility. "I will be more lightly esteemed than this, and will be humble in my own eyes, but with the maids of whom you have spoken, with them I will be distinguished." You think about what David is saying there. It doesn't matter what is thought about me. The only thing that in fact matters is in fact the Lord. I'm not worried about my reputation, my appearance, my image. I want God. That's what it means to be humble. We don't seek to glorify ourselves, and on the same token, we don't get some sort of satisfaction by deliberately marginalizing ourselves. We simply don't think about it at all. Our focus, our desire is upon the Lord. It doesn't matter what is thought about us. We don't seek acclaim, and again, and you may know individuals like this who deliberately seek to be marginalized or ostracized, get some sort of self-righteous satisfaction out of that. David's saying, it didn't matter. I so love the Lord. I so want the Lord. I so adore Him and worship Him. I'm not even thinking about what anybody thinks about me. My sole focus and attention is, in fact, upon the Lord. This is what it means to be humble. That attitude, that frame of mind, where we love God and want God so much that it really doesn't cross our mind either way what people are thinking, because we're not thinking about what they're thinking. We're simply thinking about the Lord. Why did David grow? Because he wanted God more than anything. Is that you? Are you able to seek the Lord and it doesn't matter what others think? You're not doing it for acclaim. You're not doing it to try to make some point or issue, if you will. You simply want the Lord. We need the attitude of humility. We also need the attitude, the characteristic of surrender. And by that I mean deliberately relinquishing control of ourselves, our possessions, our desires. You think about what David said in verse 2, going back to Psalm 131. "Surely I have composed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child rest against his mother. My soul is like a weaned child within me." And again, the picture is obvious. It's a weaned child. And I love what Warren Wiersbe said. He said, "Spiritual maturity is a lifelong series of weanings." That is, we give up special comfort and special attention and we rest upon the Lord. I remember a time I had listening to Ron Dunn teach, and he was teaching a series entitled God, that he entitled God's Way with His Servants, and he was talking about Abraham, and he used Abraham as an example of faith. And he said, walking with God always involves leaving, losing, and letting go in order to take hold of something better. We grow up by giving up. It's the same thing that's being described here. We cannot and will not grow until we're willing to let go, obviously of sin, obviously of bad things, if you will, but sometimes also good things that interfere with our walk in a relationship with the Lord. Also our own desires, you know, how we think life ought to be. We won't grow until we tell God, honestly, here it is, God, you can have it. Another quote, Arno Gabelline wrote, as the weaned child no longer cries and frets and longs for the mother's breast, but rests still and contented, because the child knows it is with its mother, so the soul is weaned from all discontentment, ambitiousness, and self-seeking, or any kind of selfishness. We, in fact, need that sense of surrender unto the Lord. We need that sense of being able to give Him everything. We need humility. We need surrender. But then look what else we need. Trust. Verse 3, O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. Only when we believe that God is who He says He is, and that He will do what He says He will do, and we base everything upon that, are we really truly going to grow. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Habakkuk 2, 4, and it's quoted three times in the New Testament, says, but the righteous will live by his faith. So important that that is quoted three times in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. You think of as well what we read in Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who seek Him. You think about that. Certainly David's an illustration of that. We always think about, you know, David went out and fought and beat Goliath with a sling and a stone. Well, that may have been the mechanical object. That may have been the tools. But David defeated Goliath by his faith and trust in God. You think about your life. Are you trusting Him with where you are right now, the circumstances that you're in? Are you truly trusting Him? You know, when we talk about growth, again, we usually think about activities, and they're correct, and that is biblical. All those activities we mentioned earlier are biblically correct. Bible study, prayer, corporate fellowship, worship, all those things are true, but they'll only come to fruition in the right attitude. That attitude, those attitudes of humility, of surrender, and trust. Are those the attitudes in which you're walking today? Or could it be that you need to follow God's pattern, and then from that pattern, pursue those activities? And with those attitudes, through those activities, God, by His wonderful Spirit, will grow you, mature you, deepen you, and pull you closer than ever. Follow David's example. Walk in humility, surrender, and trust. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for this day. Lord, for the clear, unmistakable truths of Your Word. Father, I pray that You'll enable us to understand them, comprehend them, internalize them, and, oh God, live them. And Father, may we grow in Your grace this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as always, I hope that you have a great day in the Lord. Hope that you walk with Him, experience Him. And as we've just prayed, and as we see in 2 Peter, I hope that through this day that you grow in His grace.